was introduced, I'll be talking about the evolution of hairy attachment structures in Simicromorpha, and it's one of the infraorders of heteroptera true bags. You might have wondered at some point, or maybe you actually haven't, but then this is a good opportunity to do so, how a fly manages to cling on a vertical glass pane, for example, or as a predatory insect, as for example this prostematine damselbug, manages to get a good grip on its prey organism, or how a plant-dwelling insect such as this, it's not very doing well, such as this plant bug manages to walk around a very really smooth surface of some plants, as for example this yucca plant bug on the very smooth leaves of a yucca. And the answer is pretty simple. They have attachment structures on various parts of their legs, as for example on the left you see the pulvilli on the tarsus of pretarsus of a housefly. In the middle you see the fossa spongiosa of the prostematine nabit on top, and on the right you see what's called pseudopulvilli in a bricorine plant bug. Generally speaking, there are two friction systems realized in hexapods, and both of them try to maximize the amount of contact between the part of the leg that's involved in that action and the surface, that would be the surface of the ground or of the plant or of the prey organism. One of these systems is called hairy attachment structure, and it's pretty obviously why, because it consists of many to many thousand actually hairs, and those could be CD or those could be hairs. The other attachment structure is called smooth attachment system, and those consist of very flexible membranous lobes that closely attach themselves to the surface of the plant, for example, in the case of the bricorine plant bug. Gorman Boydell went ahead and did a survey of the literature, basically, of attachment structures across hexapods, and included those data in a phylogenetic and cladistic analysis. And their conclusions with respect to the true bugs, or heteroptera, were as such. They found their euplantulae, this is tarsal soles or pads, in one of the subfamilies of Myridae and Myrinae. Then they found their pulvilli described in Coriidae and some other groups of stink bugs. Both of them were fall into the smooth category of attachment structures. And then they found there's a fossa spongiosa in at least one subfamily of Reduviidae, and those is a so-called hairy attachment structure. If you start looking into the literature a little bit more closely, or actually look at specimens yourself, you realize that this is not really exhaustively describing the situation of what we have in terms of attachment structures across true bugs. So basically what I'm going to be doing is I'll be focusing on only the hairy attachment structures, and I'll be giving you a summary of them in the Simicromorpha. This is, as I said, one of the infraorders of true bugs. And then I take a quick look into what happens within Reduviidae, that's the assassin bugs. This is a modified phylogeny from a cladistic analysis based on molecular and morphological data from Wheeler et al. And looking into the hairy into attachment structures, you find that in the five less specious infraorders, there isn't any trace of hairy attachment structures. Those, for example, comprise the Napomorpha, the water bugs. You might be familiar with those. Then also in one of the very specious infraorders, the Pentatomorpha, that comprise, for example, the stink bugs, we do not find any hairy attachment structure, which leaves us with the Simicromorpha, and here things become more interesting. We have a so-called fossa spongiosa, and I'll be mostly focusing on this fossa spongiosa for the rest of the presentation. Then we have a thing called a scopula, and then finally a structure that I'm referring to as barbed seedy. The fossa spongiosa is located on the tip of the tibia of the front and middle leg of these true bugs, and it consists of usually many hundreds to thousands of what's called tenant hairs. They're called tenant hairs. They're not seedy. They're acanthi, which means they're built by only one epidermal cell each, and you can pretty easily recognize this by looking at their socket, because they don't have one in the contrast to a seda. Then there's a structure called scopula. It's basically restricted to only a few taxa within Amazonia and the majority of Cyanosine. This is two of the subfamilies of Reduviidae, and it's located on the two distal tarsomeres of all three pairs of legs. And in this case, the structure is made up by 10 and CD, and this time I mean CD. And finally, we have the BART CD. They consist of just pretty simple, normal-looking CD that have a row of ventral hooks, or a row of hooks on the ventral surface. And I'll be getting back to those at the end of the presentation. Just a quick closer look at the fossil spongiosa. On the right, you see one of them in longitudinal histological section, and you see it consists of a kind of membranous, lobey thing, and it has all these tenant hairs on its ventral surface. This is what they look like in a close-up. You see they have a smooth, slender base and then a really large apical plate. Similar-looking structures in leaf beetles and flies, for example, are known to enhance friction in while having a fluid on the apical plates of similar-looking structures. So I obviously wanted to know if this is also true for Simicomorpha, and in my case, more specifically in Reduviidae. So I took a Reduviidae, cleaned its legs and dried them, and then let it get a hold of a microscopic slide. And this is what I found. And if you take a close look, you see that the distance between two of these droplets equals exactly the distance between two of these apical plates. And so what you see here is a footprint of an assassin bug. But what I'm really after is kind of finding out what the distribution of the fossil spongiosa across the Micromorpha is and what assumptions we can make about its evolution. What we obviously need in order to be able to do this is phylogeny, and currently there's only one phylogeny of Simicomorphan, infraroid of Simicomorpha available out there. That's one based on 51 morphological characters, including all the 16 families described in the Simicomorpha, and it was done by Schwinstis in 1991. In order to fill this phylogeny with a little bit of life, the Reduviidae, this is Reduviidae and their sister group, the Paganomidae, formed a sister group to all the remaining Simicomorpha. Then you have a couple of groups that I'm just generally referring to as small predatory groups. They're obviously not monophyletic. Then you have a pretty enigmatic group, the so-called palm bugs, or Thomastocoridae. Then you have the lace bugs, it's the Tingidae, and plant bugs, the Myridae, as sister groups and as monophyletic group. And finally, you have damsel bugs, and then the Simicoid groups that also include the bed bugs. So if you're looking at a distribution of a fossil spongiosa on this hypothesis, and what the distribution of the structure is circled, the most parsimonious assumption that the fossil spongiosa evolved two times independently in this group. And this is also the conclusion that Schwinstis draw, who decided two independent origins, one in the Reduviidea and one in the Simiciformis. There is a structure called the tibia appendix and Thomastocoridae, that's the enigmatic palm bugs, which these authors decided to not code as a fossil spongiosa because it looked a little too different to them. And well, we're going to be hearing about it in a second. There's currently another phylogeny of Simicomorpha in, almost out there, I would say, that includes a little bit bigger set of morphological data. We also recoded quite a bit of the morphology. And then most important, we added sequence data, about 3,500 base pairs for a number of genes. And in this analysis, what happens is the palm bugs, the Thomastocoridae, fall outside of the Simicomorpha, which, even based on morphology, wasn't totally unexpected in a way, because Simicomorpha as such weren't really well defined. Then we have Reduviidea, again, as a sister group of the remaining groups. We have a monophyllum by lace bugs and plant bugs, so no difference here neither. And then we have one monophyletic group that's formed by the small predatory groups, the Simicoid groups, and the damsel bugs. In addition with some additional morphological data, for example, we decided there's no good reason to not code the tibia appendix and Thomastocoridae as a fossil spongiosa, and Toby Shu could also demonstrate presence of fossil spongiosa in the Microphysidae. This is one of the small predatory groups. We came to the conclusion that the hair attachment structures, fossil spongiosa in Simicomorpha did not evolve two times, but it actually evolved five times independently within Heteroptera. So that would be in the palm bugs, in the Reduviidea, in the Microphysidae, and the Nevine subfamily of Nabidae, in the Prostematae Nabidae, and the Simicoid groups. just a very quick look within BetaVD, where I had the best sample. I looked at about 100 species at the Phosphorus grandiosa. And here we find, as I said before, the Phosphorus grandiosa is present as a thin apotrophy in the base of BetaVD plus Pachyhelminthe. And my hypothesis, that is based on morphology, tells us that the Phosphorus grandiosa was lost multiple times within BetaVD. In fact, according to this hypothesis, it is at least 10 times, which obviously makes you wonder, how do BetaVD, which are mostly predatory, catch their prey when they don't have the structure? And they actually have found many different, very interesting, I find, ways to do so. They do antlering, spider eating, ambushing, streaky trapping, and blood feeding. And if you want to hear a little bit more about some of these behaviors, you might want to consider joining us for our meeting tonight. And with this, I just want to say one more thing, which is, I talked about the barbed CD in the beginning, and they're restricted to BetaVD. And what I find pretty interesting, they're restricted to immatures. And even more than that, they're restricted to immatures of those BetaVD that have the Phosphorus spongiosa as adults. So it looks like they're non-homologous attachment structures in the adults and immatures in BetaVD, which are obviously hemimetabolous insects, and in order to have to do the same thing, which is catch prey. And with this, I would like to especially thank my collaborators in the Simicomorphin phylogeny and you for your attention.
Time for one very rapid question.
Did you say they were non-homologous?
Well, there's really any good reason to think they are, actually, because they're, in terms of structure, they're really different things. I mean, one is a 10 here, the other one is a 10 CD, and the whole setup is totally different. So you wouldn't really think they have anything to do with each other than they're in the same location and do the same thing, and obviously in the same organism at different stages. But
Thank you.